Thank you. Tomorrow night, the seven seals of the Revelation. If the David Koresh and his 100 followers out in Waco, Texas, knew what I'm going to teach tomorrow night, they would still be alive. And that thing happened out there because he didn't understand the seven seals. Well, I got all seven of them here, and I understand them. And when I get through preaching them, you're going to want to live, not die. So get that tomorrow night. Out in the foyer, as you go out of here, Dr. Andrews from Oakwood College will be sitting behind a desk out there, and he's taking orders for the videotapes that have been made of this this meeting from the beginning. And you can stop by and see him, and he'll make arrangements for you. If you'd like to keep this entire seminar and run it for the benefit of your neighbors, you know, keep this meeting running. Just run it on for years. Get the tape, open your home up once a week to your neighbors, and let them sit back and hear Wiggum sing, hear the ambassador sing. Now, I really didn't mean that. Run it back and let them hear me preach. And I'll guarantee you, you'll win some souls with that. Now, I've been preaching 4 weeks, but I'm good for one more. Now, you be good for one more and get in here. What do you say? Now, it's tomorrow night, Wednesday night, Friday, Saturday, Sunday night. And that's when I will say goodbye until next Sabbath, that Sabbath after. And then it's, yeah. Now, in the book of Revelation, chapter 2 and verse 17, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth save he that receiveth. When you get to heaven, you're going to get a new name. Hard nuts cracked with the gospel nutcracker. You know, we're some hard nuts. We're born in sin, shaping in iniquity. But we all hope one day to walk streets of gold behind gates of pearl. In short, we all plan to go to heaven. When you get there, you'll notice I did not say if you get there, because there's no reason to miss it. I don't think you heard me. There's no reason to miss it. When you get to heaven, the Lord's going to walk up to you and hand you a white stone. And in that stone, you're going to have a new name. Thank the Lord for the new name, because I'm going to be a new person. Before we get to heaven, we're going to be changed. This corruptible will put on incorruption. This mortal will put on immortality. Talk to me out there. And for a new man, he ought to have a new name. Did you hear what I said? But there'll be no new man and no new name unless we overcome. And that brings us back home here. In this text, in the interest of what we call linguistic exactitude. That word, shall I lay it on and pass it?
Lay it on.
Well, I teach at a college, and I can't resist the temptation of teaching you something while you're out here. That's why you keep coming back. You've been hanging in here pretty good. 4 solid weeks. One more to go. All right. Now, the word overcometh, in the interest of what I call linguistic exactitude, is in the present participle, expressing continuous and repeated action. Meaning that if you're going to get that white stone and walk those golden streets, you can't overcome Sunday and hit the bottom Monday. this is saying that the overcoming must be continuous and repeated until you develop a victorious habit pattern. Now, some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Because some of you used to be a slave to a little old master about that long called the cigarette. Talk to me. But one day, you gave that cigarette to the Lord because you knew it was killing you. And it's been 10, 15 years now, and you haven't smoked. You developed a victorious habit pattern. Continuous and repeated resistance to temptation. You got to understand that. Christianity is not a hit and miss proposition. When you start keeping the Sabbath, your Sabbath keeping must be continuous and repeated. We don't keep Sabbath like y'all used to keep Sunday. Hit and miss. Yeah, we don't get off a hog meat one day and hit the bacon the next day. The victorious, overcoming action must be continuous and repeated until you've got the lesson down. And wait a minute, I'm going to say it like it's on my mind. And you get downright good at living the life. All right, let's get back to the higher stuff here. The word overcometh is in the present participle, expressing continuous and repeated action. It does not in itself indicate the time of the action, but when its relationship to the main verb is temporal, it usually signifies action that is contemporary with the main verb. Now, in our text, the main verb is overcoming. The main verb is eating. To him that overcometh, I will give him to eat. So when you bring eating in there, it's always the main thing. That's all right, don't worry about it. All right. And to eat, you got to overcome. And to overcome, you got to eat. Now, Christ was the only one who could overcome the devil without eating. Fasted 40 days and whipped the devil in the third round. Y'all didn't know there were three rounds? Yeah, devil came to him. They turned these stones into bread. Kept him behind me, Satan. Whipped him in the first round. Came back second time. Came back a third time. After fasting 40 days, he overcame the devil. But he's the only one. If we're going to overcome him, we got to eat. But you can't just eat anything. This will tell you what to eat here. It says you got to eat of the hidden manna. Now, I looked up the word manna in the Greek, and I found that in the Greek, the word manna means man. In the Old Testament, when the children of Israel got hold of some manna, it was in the Hebrew, and it was entitled, "What is it?" Yeah, the stuff came falling down. You remember the children of Israel coming out of Egypt, and they got hungry, and the Lord rained manna down on them, and they went out and didn't see anything like it. So they said, "What is it? So I'm going to eat some of this. What is it?" You know, in a sense, that's true today. When we eat of the Word of God, few people know that they are eating the hidden man. The man who died, buried, was resurrected, caught away to God. You've never seen him, but if you're going to overcome, you got to eat him. Somebody says, "How do you eat Jesus?" Answer, every time you take the communion service. He said, "This bread represents my body. This wine, unfermented grape juice, don't forget that. I said don't forget that, represents my blood. So when you partake of the communion service, symbolically, you eat his flesh and drink his blood. And that gives us energy to overcome, which will make us eligible of getting that white stone with a new name in it. Lord, y'all ain't ready for this. You hang around this some more. Now, John chapter 6, beginning with 53 and reading to 55. Jesus said, you got to eat me, honey. You don't just look at me. You got to eat me. John 6, did I say? 53 to 55. All right, I'm ready to read it. It says, And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. You know, some of you Christians have got to admit sometimes you get a little stretch when you just seem lifeless. You don't have any energy to do right and to move around and serve the Lord. The problem is you haven't eaten his flesh lately. You haven't drunk his blood lately. Until you ingest him, internalize him, eat his flesh, drink his blood, you have no life in you. Going through the motion, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. It's a quick way to die. Now, so how do you eat his flesh? Well, communion service. How do you eat his flesh? Matthew 4:4. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. When you accept and ingest and study his word, you're eating his flesh and drinking his blood. You are internalizing him. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Divine energy in the word. How many times a day do you pick up the word? I didn't ask you how many times do you, whether you eat breakfast, then you eat lunch, and then you eat dinner. Now, that's how the white folks got it rearranged. When I was a boy, I ate breakfast and dinner and supper. But the white folk don't say supper. They say breakfast and lunch and dinner. And everywhere I go, black folk are saying breakfast and lunch and dinner. And I'm wondering where supper went. But anyway, help yourself. Just be sure you eat it. And I'm sure that's what you're doing. Huh? Well, now wait a minute. Don't go a day without feasting on him. And you feast on him when you read his word, for Christ identifies with his word. In the beginning was the word. And the word was with God, and the word was God. Christ called himself the word. So when you read the word, you're eating him and partaking of divine energy. All right, let's go on. Now, in the children of Israel's experience, manna fell 12,000 times in 40 years. They had to eat it every day to survive the wilderness. Christ said, if we're going to survive this Birmingham wilderness, you better eat it every day. That manna fell every day, but on the Sabbath. Which should make it clear to Birmingham what the Lord thinks of the Sabbath. When Friday came, read it in Exodus 16 when you go home. When Friday came, the Lord would let twice as much manna. Twice as much, what is it? If we were in the ghetto, we'd say twice as much, whatchamacallit. You know, whatchamacallit? Yeah, whatchamacallit. Oh, what is it? Twice as much on Friday. And he said, gather on Friday what you're going to eat on Saturday. And don't leave any behind you, because if you come out on Saturday, it's going to stink. That's what the Lord thinks of the Sabbath. What do you think of it? Are you wandering off on what we call tradition? Somebody came running up to me with Acts 20 and 7, which says, and the first day of the week when the disciples came together to break bread, I said, read Acts 2:47. It says, and the disciples broke bread every day. You haven't said a thing. Well, the disciples came together to break bread on Sunday. Hey, they came together to break bread on Monday. You're not running around here trying to keep Monday. If you tried to keep every day, when the disciples broke bread, you wouldn't work no day. And if you don't work, you don't eat. Which means that one day, you don't wake up. But I mean, all kinds of flimsy stuff floating around. Oh, sound like right now. But let's see here. So then, 12,000 times, the Lord emphasized that he had respect for his holy day. And when John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, he's talking about the day that the Lord respected, not the one you do. Now, this white stone name that you're going to get, which no man knows, must be based on the uniqueness of our individual experiences. What tries you doesn't try me. What you have to overcome may be easy for me, but everybody is going to have to overcome something to get that white stone on graduation day at the second coming of Christ, when the Lord will be the commencement speaker. And Isaiah described his speech. It's not going to be cool and collected like today's academicians do when they are giving commencement speeches. Isaiah said, the Lord will roar out of Zion. His speech is going to sound like a lion coming in here like 100 lions. Hey, where are my people? And you're not going to need a dunce cap on. And you're not going to need an academic robe. He said, when you come up, I'm going to drop a white robe over you. Did you hear what I said? Now, we got to come to some bad news. There are three hard nuts here. We're going to try to get them to heaven, so work with me here. The first one was a man named Jacob, and his name meant deceiver. And he was some kind of a crook. But we try to get him into heaven. How about it? Talk to me out there. If he's alive, there's some hope for him. What do you say? Well, in John 3:3-5, Jesus tells us what Jacob needed. It says, marvel not, I say unto you, you must be born again. All of us need what Jacob needed, the new birth. And Jesus said, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into or see the kingdom of God. Jacob wrestle all night with the Lord until the Lord changed his character, converted him, instilled within him fresh priorities, new desires, a new set of purposes, and get this, gave him a new set of appetites so that he wouldn't just quit being crooked. Because before the Lord operated on him, he's a crook by nature. He saw in every business deal an opportunity to take advantage of the customer. Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
But when the Lord got through with him that night, he had given him a new set of appetites so that he wouldn't just quit doing something. He quit wanting to. And from then on, all of Jacob's customers got a fair deal out of Jacob. He threw a little extra in the sack. I'm not talking about Jacob. I'm talking about us. I don't know what your problem is, but whatever it is, you better give it to the Lord like Jacob gave his to the Lord. And let him give you something in return. Let him give you a new appetite so that you don't want to do what you used to do that was destroying the body and damning the soul. We got to get in there with him, as the old song says. We got to move in the room with the Lord. And we got to be sincere in saying, have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Can't be stubborn about that jewelry. I don't take this off of nobody. Well, God is nobody. He's somebody. So you take it off for somebody. I don't blame you. Don't take it off for nobody. Just wait till that somebody knocks on your door. And during these 4 weeks, he's been knocking and knocking and knocking. Mm-hmm. We gotta give it up.
I've been eating this hog meat since I've been in the field. I don't know how I would season my greens if I could.
Well, you better find out. Are you listening to me? You better find out how to season your greens. Wait a minute. Quit talking in here. I'm talking, and I see you talking. So shut your mouth. I can see everything in here. If one talker now, you talk later. Somebody wants to know the truth. You got to get rid of that liquor. It's got to go. Can't take it to heaven with you. And you're not going to stagger down the streets up there. Snuff's got to go. That Chattanooga chew has got to go. And Birmingham chew too. Got to go. This isn't any ordinary revival. Jehovah sent me here to get you. He said, well, what about all the other people? Look, you ain't going to be talking about all the other people when you go to hell. He said, where's all the other people? They're out there with you. Well, my mama said, mm-hmm. My daddy said, mm-hmm. My preacher said, mm-hmm. My deacon said, mm-hmm. My boyfriend said, mm-hmm. He's part of your problem. When you talk about going to heaven, you better turn your back on all of them and find out what your heavenly father said.
Well, I'm running out of time. Let's turn the corner here. We got one of those nuts.
Jacob, he got straightened out. That hard nut was cracked. In one night, thank God it didn't take him 20 years. Like the AA folks. Come, you know, alcoholic, go to AA. And the best they can do is produce a recovering alcoholic. And it makes me so sick. When I sit down and listen to some of these people on these talk show panels, I'm a recovering alcoholic. 17 years. Recovering? 17 years? I got a better deal. Jehovah dries you out, and you are recovered. You don't just quit drinking. You don't want the stuff. And if you stay off of it long enough, it'll make you regurgitate. When you smell it, I got a deal that'll make you squeaky clean. You don't want it. I got my wife back there in that wheelchair. That's the prettiest thing in the room. Yeah. Well, I don't wonder about me. I don't want nobody else. Jehovah got my head. She looked good to me. And one day she said, well, I ain't worried about the rest of them. I said, please don't, because I ain't feeding you no how. What I'm trying to say is, Jehovah can take it away. Now, I don't care. I may not finish this sermon, but who cares? As long as I give you enough to get you to heaven, that's another. Matter of fact, I haven't finished the sermon in 20 years now. The older you get, the more you get, and the more you get, the less time you have to get it out. Ask my wife. The one thing I worry about is that I'll die and didn't get it all out. So let me throw some more at you. If God can change Magdalene, a streetwalker, He sure can help me. If He can change David. I had a man throw David at me last week. I was talking to him about that extra sister he had there. And he said, David had many wives. I said, mm-hmm. And they gave him hell. I said, all right. You can't make it with more than one. Who you think you are? So let David alone. I haven't heard many people that repented like David did. Before David died, he prayed a prayer that I memorized. And whenever I want the Holy Ghost to warm my soul, I pray that prayer. Would you like to hear it? Well, like it or not, you're going to get it. Well, this is the part of the sermon where I'm supposed to say it. I'm like a pelican of the wilderness. I'm like an owl of the desert. I'm like a bird alone on a housetop. Ashes are mingled with my bread and tears with my drink. I am weary with my groaning. All the night long make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears. Huh? But cast me not out of thy presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Create in me a clean heart, oh God. If you pray like that, Jehovah can't resist you. Can't resist you. If Samson, if the Lord could crack that nut, he can crack any nut that ever walks the earth. And the Bible says he cracked him. Yeah, man, the Philistines had put out his eyes and put him down in the dungeon there, grinding out sugar cane or something. And somebody asked me, how you know of sugar cane? Well, it could have been raisin cane. I don't care. I just say he had him down there blind. You don't try to get technical with me. I'm trying to lay a great truth on your brain. He was down there. He was down and he was out. the spittle of the Philistine observers, like people who go to the zoo and watch monkeys flip off. Instead of just watching him, they spat at him because Samson had wounded many a thousand in his day, in his heyday. But now he's walking around there, apparently deserted by God and man, when he heard a still small voice, and it said, "Samson." Hadn't had that voice in a long time. He thought God had forgotten about him. He was like the prodigal son down there in the pig pen, smelling like a pig, looking like a pig, eating with the pig. One day, he heard that voice. Somebody said to me, "The Bible didn't say that." Oh, yeah, the Bible does tell me how sinners come to Christ. They tell me that the Holy Ghost makes an approach to that man. Holy Ghost! That's how I know the prodigal heard that voice. He'd have never remembered home. He'd have never remembered his father's house. He was too far gone to remember anything. He's one of these homeless people. You know, sleeping under the bridge. You go by and you look at him and you're like Ezekiel. "Son of man, can these bones live?" Thank the Lord, in Mobile, Alabama, there's a black cowboy had taken one too many falls, trampled by raging bulls, kicked, shaken. Finally, wound up in Mobile. And the Lord had sent old Cleveland down there to get him. He didn't know it. Walking around the streets, no job, down and all the way out. He got my hand there. And one night he's sitting in front of me, and I don't know a thing about him. I don't, at that point in time, I didn't know that he's an ex-cowboy, that he's jaded and beaten up, and that life is now sitting on him like a ton of bricks, and he feels the weight of the world on him, and he's contemplated suicide more than once. And now he's sitting in front of me. I don't know he's out there, but the Holy Ghost knows he's out there. And the word of the Lord came to him through human lips. Today, that old boy selling books. Yeah, he's selling religious literature and doing a little part-time preaching on the side. We still call him cowboy. Because now he's riding for the Lord. The Lord could do it for Samson, and he did it. Samson said, "Hear me just one more time, Lord. Read Judges 16:28. Just remember me one more time." You know, we black folk got a song, "Remember me when tears are falling down. Remember me when there's trouble all around. And oh, when I come to the river Jordan, my Lord, remember me." Well, that's the prayer Samson prayed. He said, "Remember me this once over." And all of a sudden, divine energy began to surge through those flabby muscles. "Talk to me." And Jehovah took up an abode in that old feeble brain. And he began to massage Samson's scalp. And Samson's hair began to grow. But those dumb Philistines didn't know what was going on. And they were so crazy that they really came up with an idea. There's a statement that says, whom the gods would destroy, they first made mad. Jehovah made them mad, ran them crazy. Let's bring him out and down there. You bring Samson out of the hole? That's what old Samson waiting on. Remember me this once. And the Lord got his hair growing. They didn't notice it. And they cut his chains and lit him out. And little boy lit him up there. People just laughing. Samson said, "Little boy, Put my hand on the main pillar. I'm kind of tired. I need to rest.
Little boy, yes, sir, Miss Sampson. And here, pretty soon Sampson is stroking that Philistine ivory.
He said, little boy, there ought to be one more pillar to the left over here.
Yes, sir, Miss Sampson. Put my left hand on that. Oh, Sampson's standing there stroking it.
He said, Jehovah, you've given me a reason to live.
Little boy.
Yes, sir, Miss Sampson.
Get out of here, man. Rotten boy.
Rotten.
Little boy, yes, sir, Miss Sampson. Pit, pat. I think he's the only one that got out. Sorry, I can't prove it. Old Sampson's standing there. Poking that stuff. He said, all right, Lord, one more time. And he begins to push.
You know, he may not come when you need him, but he comes on time.
Samson was pushing marble.
You are pushing a snuff can.
Look, I gotta let you go. All right. I don't have time to crack these other two nuts. But that was nut enough, wasn't it? So let's skip over all these other nuts and get you to heaven. And let's get a little celebrating and get out of here. What do you say? In the book of Revelation, what book did I say? I've got the third chapter. What chapter? We're back there. And I've got the 12th verse. What verse? All right, let's go home on this one. And to him that overcometh, reading it again. Mm-hmm. To him that overcometh, mm-hmm, will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. Now, usually you think of a pillar as something that holds the temple up. Look, the temple is already up, and you're not even there. So the Lord doesn't need you to come up there and hold the temple up. What he is talking about here is what we call an obelisk. The ancient history says that the great kings, when they completed conquest, they would erect a memorial of the conquest called an obelisk, or you would call it an historical monument, an historical marker. Uh-huh. And the Lord said, if you overcome, you will become one of my historical markers. Amen. Walking around Birmingham with my name written all over you. Amen. With my spirit dictating your behavior. And the people on the job look at you and say, she's different. He's different. Who you representing now? We know who you used to represent, because you was out there with us representing him. But you've evidently got a new boss. Who is he? You become an obelisk. You become an historical marker. You become a guideline to the kingdom, anointed by all kinds of hieroglyphic markings that identify you as a child of a conquering king. Ho, ho! And I'll do something else. And he shall no more go out. Mm-hmm. And I will write upon him the name of my God. That talks about ownership. That's why you're down here now. You become an overcomer down here, and the Lord stamps you with the name of his God. Did you hear? And I will write on him the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem. Meaning, everybody gonna know where you hid it. That man not going to hell. Why? The way he living with the name of his God. And then he says, and I will write upon him, this is what I want to close with, I will write upon him my new name. Now you just set me off, honey. Because I wanted to know what was his old name. If he's going to write his new name on me, I want to know what's his old name. Well, I looked it up in the Bible, and they called him El Shaddai. They called him
Adonai. They called him I Am. They called him Jehovah Jireh. They called him Jehovah Nisi. They called him Jehovah Shalom. That's his own name. Then I said, what's your new name? Well, when in a stable in Bethlehem some 1900 years ago, the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. When the God-man appeared, unique in history. Nobody like him before. Nobody like him since. The angel said, I'll tell you what to call him. Call his name Jesus. That's his new name. No longer El Shaddai. No longer Adonai. No longer Jehovah Jireh. No longer Jehovah Nisi. No longer Jehovah Shalom. Call his name Jesus. He's older than his mother in time, equal to his father in eternity. No earthly father, no heavenly mother. Unique, separate, distinct. And he's given us the victory. We are now overcomers. We deserve his new name, Christian. How did we get up? We got it by believing in him. We got it believing on him. We got it believing him. Believing that whatever knocks me down can be conquered. Believing that earth hath no sorrow, that heaven cannot heal. Believing that drugs, alcohol, illicit sexual relationships, name it, Christ is able. Abel, he locked the lion's jaws and clipped the lion's claws. Abel, he air conditioned the white hot heat of a furnace. Abel, he shackled death at the tomb of Lazarus. Abel brought water from a rock in a bone-dry desert. Abel blew his breath and the Red Sea parted. Abel, he's a mind regulator. He's a sin dissipator. He's a strong tower. He's a source of power. He's a shock absorber. He's a safe harbor. He's a mountain mover. He's a sin reprover. He's a habit breaker. He's an undertaker. He's a way maker. He's a census taker. He's a burden bearer. He's a soul repairer. He's a life sustainer. He's a peace retainer. He's a guiding light. He's my song in the night. He's an energizer. He's a sympathizer. He's my sun and shield. He's my wheel in a wheel. He's Abel. 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 Standing by your head.